You can take your Bibles and turn to chapter 20 of the book of Exodus. If you'll stand, please, out of love and respect for the Word of God. One more time, I know you'd like to hear that. One more time, we're going to read verses 1 through 21. I'll read out loud. You follow along silently as we're just going to kind of do a little bit of a wrap up tonight. I want to bring a few things to our attention as we kind of finish up this study on the Ten Commandments. And you say, but Pastor, I missed some of the other ones. They're on our Facebook page, okay? Just go there, click on the link there through our website, and you can go and you can scroll back. I don't know, how far does it go back? Like forever? I don't know how long it goes back. So you can go back and find it on Sunday evenings and see what we're talking about. But I'll read it out loud. You follow along silently here in Exodus chapter 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings, and the lightnings, and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off. And Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Before we get into the real conclusion, I just want to remind us about these commandments. And I also want to bring a little bit of some light to you on what the rest of religion thinks about the Ten Commandments. You see, most people in general, as far as the world is concerned, they see this as a list of rules, okay? A list of things that they either have to follow or are not going to follow. You know, that's how they kind of view it. Even religion somewhat sees it that way. Now, I want to just make a little bit of a comparison. We believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God. These are the things that we believe that God gave, excuse me, to us and to his people in times past. The King James Bible tells us about commandment number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. In religion in general, here's what they say the first commandment says. I am the Lord your God, you shall not have strange gods before me. That's what they say. That's what it says. You shall not have strange gods before me. So the ones that are familiar gods, they're okay. Watch out. No, God says no other gods. Is no other gods the same as you shall not have strange gods before me? I don't think so. Doesn't sound the same to me. You grammar people can help me with that, all you English people. Okay? No, commandment number two. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Let me tell you what religion says about the second commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. No, I did not skip to number three. Oh, they forgot to mention that one. Doggone it. I hate it when that happens. Interesting. So our Bible goes on and says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's the next commandment. And they say, remember to keep holy the Lord's day. Okay, now we're one off here, right? Let me address these others. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That's pretty close. Okay? I guess we agree that that's important. All right? Now, as it comes to the Sabbath day, he says, remember to keep holy the Lord's day. That's what religion in general says, the third commandment is. But you understand that God goes into much more detail about the Sabbath day and why it's important and what's important about it. As we look at commandment number four, our Bible tells us, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Okay? They say commandment number four is honor your father and mother. Okay? Again, we're still off one. Our Bible tells us the next commandment is honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So that one's pretty close. Okay? But they say that number five is you shall not kill. Now, our Bible tells us, thou shalt not kill. All right, we're okay there, right? Those are pretty close. They say that commandment number six is, you shall not commit adultery. We say commandment seven is, thou shalt not commit adultery. They say commandment number seven is, you shall not steal. We say commandment eight is, thou shalt not steal. They say commandment number eight is, ye shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. All right, you see how we're still out. Now, all these kind of match up pretty close, right? But there's some delineation between some of these others at the beginning having to do with our relationship with God and somewhat to do with the relationship with man. There's a little bit of difference. As we move on here, commandment number nine in our King James Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And they say that commandment number nine is you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Okay, now we say that the Bible says commandment number 10 is thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And they say commandment number 10 is you shall not covet your neighbor's goods. So I guess it's okay to covet your neighbor's house. Right? Because those aren't his. Are those his goods? Does that fall in that category? I don't know. I'm not in other religions. No. So they omit some things. They take off some of the emphasis on some things. Now, what does that have to do with anything? God says what he meant, and he meant what he said when he gave us his commandments. They do have to do with our relationship with him. And they do have to do with our relationship with mankind. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter what this church or that church or some other church say about what God says. It matters what God says about what God says. That's what matters. Because guess what? I've told you this before, and I'll tell you it again, over and over again. God's the one that gets to set the definitions. Not us. Here in 2023, this society in this day and age does not get to set the definition of things. I'm sorry, alphabet people. You don't get to set the definition of things. God has already set the definition of things. I'm not being unkind to anybody. People just have it wrong. But times have changed. God doesn't change. And it doesn't matter if times change or not. God is still God. And God is the ultimate supreme being. He's the one that gets to decide whether or not things change. And as far as I can read, and as far as I can tell, it hasn't changed. And as far as I can read, and as far as I can tell, it's not going to change. That's where it is. So as it comes to God's people, and we're going to start at verse 18 tonight. I hope you're understanding what I'm trying to express over all these messages and all these sermons. It is God's way or the highway. That's how it is. And the faster we get to that place where we understand and agree and accept that, the faster we get to have a successful life as people. I don't know why it takes us so long to get to that place that just says, you know what? That's what God said. That's what I'm going to do. God is God. We are not God. Satan lied to mankind when he said, ye shall be as gods. You know why? Satan wanted to be God. And because God kicked him out and didn't let him be God, he was going to try to get God's crowning achievement, right? God's crowning creation, mankind, to do the same thing that he did. Rebel against God. Stop rebelling against God. Accept it. It's his word. His commands. It's his universe. It's his way. It's all his. There is none else. We got to get over ourselves and get on God's side. Look at verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountains smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. This is the problem. This is what's wrong with people. They see all these things. They see the thunderings and they see the lightnings and they see the noise of the trumpet they hear the noise of the trumpet and the mountains smoking and they become afraid. As we go on through this account, and we see what happens. They say to Moses, speak you, Moses, understood you, right? Speak thou with us and we will hear. Moses, you're a physical being. We can see you. We're not afraid of you, Moses. But that we're afraid of. So Moses, you speak to us and we're going to be okay. We'll hear it. But don't you dare let that speak to us. Because we're going to die. Now, the Bible plainly talks about the fear of the Lord. But that's not afraid fear. That's reverential fear. That's respect fear. Okay? God doesn't want us looking up toward heaven going, That's what these people were doing. And let me tell you something. They had no business doing that. They had no business doing that. Go back and look through the book of Genesis. Mankind had every opportunity to embrace a relationship with God Almighty. Instead, they're doing this. There's no cause for that, folks. God doesn't want us to be cowering down in fear. Yet we're to fear God. But again, it's supposed to be a healthy, reverential, respectful fear. Hey, moms and dads, do you want your kids, every time you walk into a room, go... No, no parent wants that. Right? That's not the kind of respect or fear that a parent should have and relationship they should have. You know what I love? You watch. Well, my boys don't do it anymore, but I guess they're too grown up. But most of my girls, well, pretty much all of them, even Anna does sometimes. Where's my functioning adult? She's in the nursery. Okay. We decided that Ethan wasn't worthy of being a functioning adult yet. What did I call you? A semi-functioning adult? Okay. Yes, he says. Well, time will tell on that one. But most of the time it's Daddy's home. Actually, they have this little thing they do, and they'll count. As I come around the corner of the hallway or something, 1, 2, 3, Daddy! Okay? Is that because I never punish my children? No. Quite the opposite. No, it's because they have a love and a respect for me as their father. You know what these people should have done? God says, I am your God. He said, hey, this is how I want you to live. And I'm going to show mercy to them, the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments, he says. He says, I love you. I want you to be successful. And, oh, yes, there was a bunch of noise and God was serious about what he was saying. But in no way, shape, or form did he want these people standing afar off, cowering in fear, not wanting to talk to him, not wanting to communicate with him. Now, Moses, you go, you talk to us. We'll hear you, but we don't want to hear that. And the same is true today. What kind of relationship do you have with God? Are you afraid of God? I hope not. Now, you ought not treat God like your best buddy and just, you know, no. God is to be respected. God has his place. But you ought to be able to boldly come before the throne of grace. You ought not to be afraid to come before God and make your requests known to him. He wants you to do that. He's saying, hey, I'm here. Come to me. And these people had it all wrong. Why did they have it all wrong? Well, if you go back and read through the history of these people, they had forgotten about God. They had forsaken God. They're the ones that had left God. And when adversity came, someone came up with a bright idea. Oh, hey, there was a God that our ancestors used to worship. Let's cry out to him and maybe he'll save us from this slavery. And he did, didn't he? Yeah. With great power, didn't he? And that should have rekindled the relationship with these people. But what happened? They didn't take to it, did they? God took to them. He wanted to have this relationship with them, but they said no. So as we look at these things, I want you to think about the Ten Commandments. Are you standing afar off? Are you afraid of what God is going to do to you if you don't keep these commandments?
Or do you have a healthy, respectful, reverential fear with God of what life can be like if you do keep His commandments? You see, it's all about perspective, isn't it? Could the people of God have embraced God at this moment in time? They could have. They could have said, "Hey, Moses, let's go and hear what God has to say. And let's converse with God and let's be His people." But no, they said, you go, we'll stay here. You come tell us what He said. Why did think about this. Why did Moses go ahead and go? Why did Moses go ahead and say, "Hey, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that His fear may be before your faces that ye sin not"? I mean, let me ask you that. Why do you think Moses was able to do that? Because Moses had the right kind of relationship with God, and the people didn't. Do we see Moses cowering down in fear? Do we see Moses removing himself afar off from the mount? No. He just walked into the midst of the darkness where God was. "Hey, God. Hi." Now, again, I told you not to be cavalier, so I don't think Moses was cavalier either, all right? But do you understand? Moses wasn't afraid to go talk to God. Moses went up the mountain and was with God for 40 days. And when he came back down, his face shone so brightly that they had put a veil over his face. And guess what? They were afraid of that too. Are you catching a theme here? Why? It's because these people really didn't know God. And you know what? By their attitude, I don't think they really wanted to know God. That's a supposition on my part, okay? What do you think? Didn't seem like it, did it? Why do you think the people of God seem to have this roller coaster life? Because they refused to embrace what it really was to fear God. It was because they didn't really grasp what it was to embrace God's commandments. When God tells us in the scriptures to be conformed to the image of His dear Son, in Romans chapter 12, when it tells us to renew our minds, right? And not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed. We ought to be able to have this relationship. When we see the thunderings and the light, or hear the thunderings and see I like what it says here. They saw the thunderings and the lightnings. That's cool. And the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. They became afraid. Now, I've actually seen a mountain smoking before and I thought it was cool. I actually went up there and saw it. Mount Etna is one of the world's most active volcanoes. I actually got to go skiing on top of Mount Etna. And all the while it was smoking. And there was one place in the summertime we got to go up there. And I think I have some pictures of it somewhere. But we actually got to walk on it and my shoes started to melt. And if I looked down far enough through the ground there and through the cracks, I could see the red glowing. You say, "You're nuts." I know I'm nuts. It's fun. It was pretty cool. And actually one guy was up there with a big iron pry bar. And he was prying away the I guess it's called, is it, what's it called, lava? Is it, which one is it, magma or lava? I can't remember which one when it's out of the ground. Lava? What, magma is when it's under the ground? Okay, good. So it was lava, I guess. Well, maybe it was still under the ground. Anyways, he was pulling it across. He got these pinchers and he'd pull out the molten stuff and they would put it into a shape and they'd put it in a bucket of water and instantly boil and cool down. It was really cool. They were doing all kinds of cool stuff with this stuff. It was great. I didn't think a smoking mountain was anything bad. I thought it was kind of fun. But these people, they were so afraid of it all. We need to learn to embrace God and embrace His commandments. They ran from God. And ultimately, what did they do? They ran from His commandments. Oh, they'd keep them for a while, but then they'd cast them aside like as if they were nothing. You know, they did love God for a while. And then they cast them aside as if they were nothing. We need to latch hold on these things. They need to become who we are. And we need to pass them down from generation to generation to generation. And listen, I don't have time to tell you all the verses, but listen to how God wanted the people to be. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, the Bible says, "And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord God, thy God hath set the lands before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us." So God, Moses told them, look, God's given us this land. And they said, no, we're going to send some spies in. Okay, Moses is writing down the account of what happened here at Kadesh Barnea. And the 12 men, they went and they searched out the land. And it says here, ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakims there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. It says, yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, to show you by way, what way ye should go, in a cloud by day. Do you see the heart of this people? They didn't trust God. They didn't believe God. We need to believe God. We need to trust God. As they're standing here and God is giving them these sacred commandments and he's telling them how he wants them to live in their relationship toward him, how he wants them to live in their relationship toward one another, all they can think about is the thunders and the lightnings and the smoking mountain and how afraid of God they are. Is all we see just the rules and the judgment of God, and we forget about the God behind all those things? Moses pleaded with them. Joshua and Caleb pleaded with them. Go in, trust God. It's what he wants for us. And they're like, nope, not going to do it. What did it get them? 40 years in the wilderness. Everybody 20 years old and upward, dead. In Deuteronomy 31, Moses is going off the scene. Joshua is coming on the scene as far as leadership goes. Moses says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. We know about Joshua's life, and things went pretty well for the children of Israel at that time and during the time of his life. And in the time of those that overlived Joshua, but then there came a generation which knew not God. How sad. How sad. It was God's intent that these things be passed on from generation to generation to generation. And that they be passed on, that things would go well with them and with thy children after thee. And the generation after that, God wanted this to be perpetual. To show to the generations to come the wonderful works of God. It's because they truly didn't understand what the fear of the Lord meant. We need to understand what it means to fear God. We need to understand what it means to have no other gods before him. We need to know what it means not to make any graven images. We need to know what it means not to bow down ourselves to any other gods or serve any other gods. We need to know what it is to not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We need to know what it is to remember to keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy. We need to know what it is to honor our father and mother and not kill and not commit adultery and not steal and not bear false witness and not covet. Not because of what we desire, what we want, what we think, but because it's our relationship with God. Hey, I want to have a good relationship with God. And that means I need to reverence Him. That means He needs to be God, and I'm not God. That means He gets to make the definitions, and I don't. That means He gets to make the commands, and I get to follow them. Can I tell you something? I have served, I have lived my life under my parents' authority. I have served in our country's military. And I just happened to be in the time when Mr. Clinton was the president. Woe was me. Can I tell you something? I have not always agreed with my authorities. Have you? No. But you know what's true in every single case? I wasn't the authority. I was the subordinate. I was the one that was supposed to obey the authority. God's the authority. And it doesn't matter what you think about His commands. It doesn't matter what you think about His ways. It doesn't matter what you think about His decisions. It doesn't matter what you think about His definitions. He's God, and you're not. The sooner you come to that realization, the sooner your life will turn out better. That's what we need to realize. We need to embrace what it means to fear the Lord. Let me just run through a potpourri of Proverbs for you. You like that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets, she crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In a city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I will also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures in trouble therewith. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Instead of being afraid of God, the people of God needed to fear God. That respect and that reverence. They didn't need to cower down and say to Moses, "Hey, let not God speak with us, lest we die." They should have stood with Moses and say, "Let's go talk to God. Let's go be with God. Let's embrace what our God has given to us. God hath not given us a spirit of fear." That's not how He wants us to live. He wants us to embrace a relationship with Him. Him in His place, and us in our place. That's how it's supposed to be. That's what God wants. And if we're going to do that, not only do we need to embrace the fear of God, but we need to embrace the commands of God. When we embrace something, that means we're going to hold on to it, right? And you know what? It's going to be something that we love, that we care about, that is something that we want, right? And you have to understand that God's word, God's commands, the ways of God, the will of God, the things of God, they've got to be things that we want. I don't know how much God's people really wanted these things. I think they tolerated them. That's how I feel. Because if they didn't, they were afraid of the thunderings and the lightnings and the smoking mountain. And this thing, whatever it is going to kill us. That's not what God has intended for us. In Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening of the eyes. Does this sound like something to be afraid of? Does this sound like something you don't want in your life? Does this sound like something that's going to destroy you? No, it sounds like something that we ought to want to embrace. Hey, how would you like to have the conversion of the soul, being made wise, rejoicing of your heart, enlightenment of your eyes? Those sound like wonderful things. We ought to want these things. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. It ought to be something you want more than gold. Yea, more than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. What sounds bad about that? Oh, but I can't do this, and I can't do that. And no. You get to have such a great life. You get to live in such a way where there's great reward. You get to live in such a way that's desired more than gold, and it's sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Woo! We ought to be excited about that. Hey, if I treat God how He wants to be treated, I get this reward. If I treat mankind honoring my mother and father, not killing, not stealing, not coveting, I get this great life. Yet we see it in such a different way. I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this, I can't do that. No, it's not a list of I can't do's. It's what a great life we get to live God's way. Because guess what? Your way and my way both stink. You say, but hey, I'm smart. Well, I'm smart too, but God's smarter. It's God's way. Solomon told his son, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. What a great pursuit. Why don't you spend your days searching for the unsearchable God? See, if he's unsearchable, why should I go looking for him? Because it's a great pursuit. These things on earth do not satisfy. They will not satisfy. If you set your life's pursuit on searching after the things here on this earth, you're going to find misery and despair and distress and sorrow. But if you go and search for God and his knowledge and wisdom, you're going to have the best adventure ever. And boy, will it be worth it all in the end. In 1 John chapter 5, the Bible tells us, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. In other words, let me give you the layman's terms of that. When we finally figure out that God knows best, then we understand that his commandments are good. And that it's like, hey, we don't have to do these things. I don't have to not have any other gods before him. I get to have one God to serve. You see, that's where it's not grievous anymore. Hey, I get to honor my father and mother. I get to not kill anybody. Yay, that's good. I get to not steal. I get to not want what my neighbor's got. I get to tell the truth and not be called a liar. Wow. Hey, I get to do all my work in 6 days and give God one day out of that seven. That's what it means when it says his commandments are not grievous. It's all about our attitude. That's a singular verb. How was the children of Israel's attitude? It was a stinky attitude. It was a bad attitude. They were afraid of God. They had the wrong attitude, the wrong perspective. What did they feel like God's commands were? Grievous. An imposition. He's trying to keep us from having all this fun. Listen up, teenagers. Your parents don't hate you. They love you. Get to the place where their commands aren't grievous. And you'll have a much better life. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, John writes, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. I don't know that the children of Israel really knew God. They just got released from slavery there in Egypt. They watched this magnificent display of these plagues, and then the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud and the Red Sea and the water and all these different things that they got to experience. And then this smoking and thunderings and lightnings and I don't think they really knew him. Do we really know him? Maybe that's why we're afraid of God. Maybe that's why His commandments are grievous to us. He says, hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar. Oof. Wow, John, that's rough. And the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. As we wrap up this thought of the Ten Commandments, I hope you take to heart the things that I said. I hope you take to heart what we saw in the relationship of the children of Israel to God. And also what we saw in the relationship of Moses to God. Quite different, wasn't it? Moses had no problem drawing near unto God where he was. Why? Because Moses knew God. Moses was acquainted with God. And Moses was okay with God. He said, God, I fear you. God, I'm going to embrace your commandments. If it wasn't for Moses pleading for the people of God on their behalf, there wouldn't be a people of God. Remember I told you before, if Moses and God ever got on the same page, we wouldn't have a children of Israel. We need to learn to embrace God. His commandments. The fear of God. That's the right way to live.